We discussed a little bit the machlekes Reb Shimon Megamliel and Chachamim. That's the last five lines on Kuf Lamed Hem the base and goes over to Kuf Lamed Rav Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks, do the Chachamim disagree with the memory of Reb Shimon Megamliel? Maybe there never was a machlekes. Maybe they all agreed. The Gemara says no, because they took a stand halachic Reb Shimon Megamliel. What are you taking a stand halachic Reb Shimon Megamliel? Nobody disagrees. Obviously there is a machlekes, but we pass like Reb Shimon Megamliel. What did he say exactly? So there's a long Tosfos on Kuf Lamed Vav and Aleph. Tosfos explains that Reb Shimon Gamliel said two things. Half of what he said we do not accept, and the other half we accept. He's talking, Reb Shimon Gamliel is talking about both. He's not talking about a situation where it's Yodua Shekola Lechadoshev. If you know for sure that this was a full-term pregnancy, whatever that means, into the ninth month, the end of the, after the full 9 months, whatever. So if you know for sure, Yodua Shekola Lechadoshev, so neither member. Reb Shimon Gamliel said two things. He said about the behemoth, you have to wait to shecht it till the eighth day. But if you do a shekola chadosh, you can shecht it on the first day. You can't bring it to the korban. That's a gzeiros hakasa, but you can shecht it for chulin. That's not a problem. And also, kol shloshol shloshim yom ba'odom is a sofik nefel, and you have to wait till yom lamed aleph. That's only if it's yodu a shekola chadosh avaita. Reb Shimon Gamliel would never say. So it's a Tosfos explains he's talking about two cases. He's talking if it's any yodua, if kolol chadoshev anah, and he's also talking about avadai ben ches. It's vadai that it's like kolol chadoshev. So that Tosfos says we absolutely do not accept that part of Reb Shimon Gamliel. Tosfos proves in the Tosefta, the way it's quoted in the Tosefta, in the context of the Tosefta, Reb Shimon Gamliel goes on a case when it's vadai like kolol chadoshev, avadai lo kolol chadoshev. So that we don't pasken like him. We pasken have to wait till he's 20 years old. That's the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pei Amud Beis. That tells God you have to wait till he's ben chof. Or the Chazon Ish said if he's put in the incubator. So the doctor says okay, fine. So that part of Reb Shimon Gamliel, that's out of the question. And the other part is what our sugya is discussing. Ain't you do it? We don't know. Stam vlad. We don't know whether it was kolach hadoshav, was not kolach hadoshav. So the Chachamim hold that Roy Vlodis of Vlad Malia, it's going to be a Bar Kayam. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds no, that it's a Sofik Nefel. And that's what the Magen Mishnah claims. Yeah, the Rama Paschna is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, Lahachme, but it's only Lahachme with the Rabbanim. And that's what he said, that Lahachme with the Rabbanim is only in Issa Veheter, then you get to Chalitza. That's the last line on Kuf Lamed Vav and Allah going over to the top of Kuf Lamed Vav and Beis, that the original Chumer Reb Shimon Gamliel was regarding Chalitza. If the man died, then he had no descendants, no children, he only has one child. Doesn't matter whether the child was born before he died or after he died, that's not relevant. And the child is a tiny infant, so if the baby dies within 30 days, then we say, if it's a stamblot, if you know, but you do a shekola chadoshov. And the Ramah says that Bizman is that we assume that into the ninth month is considered Kol HaDoshav. So Jewish Kol HaDoshav, even if the baby dies within 30 days, it's not a problem. Unless the doctors ascertain that the finder was inside the mother's womb for 9 months, but it's missing things inside the kishkes, everything is missing, or there's something wrong there. It wasn't fully developed. That's the equivalent of like Kol HaDoshav. Okay. So that was the original member of Rav Shimon Megamliel. Yeah. Rav Herzog had a shaila. Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi after Rabbi Cook. He was chief rabbi during HaKamas Amdina and after. So the Arabs shot, there was a couple who was married, they had a little baby, so the Arabs shot the father and the son. So the father, and it was the Suffolk who died first. So he has, I think he corresponded, who did he correspond with? The Sridi Yesh, with Reb Chaim Oizer, I forgot. Couldn't be Reb Chaim Oizer. No, it was after Reb Chaim Oizer died, I think. Maybe it was Reb Chaim Oizer. That's, you have Shailas Halach HaLamayisah about these things. This Machlekes, Reb Shimon Gamliel Nechachomim, on Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, by a Stam Vlad, do you assume a Stam Vlad is a Vlad Malia? Or do you assume it's a Sofik Nefel until he survives till Yom Lamed Aleph? So the Gemara had two versions of what Chalitza. One version is the only time Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that it's a Sofik, the only time he's Machman, that it's a Sofik, that's if Piekemeis, that the baby chokes on its own. But let's say someone shoots the baby within 30 days, so the baby's in an accident. Then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel wouldn't say the Chumrah. He only considers it a Safek Nefel if there's something that you can't explain. The baby died mysteriously. You don't know why. So then he holds that it's a Safek Nefel. But if we know what to attribute the death to, the baby fell off of the top of the building and it got killed. Nafel min hagag v'meis, or something like that. Or if they shot the baby, a terrorist shot the baby, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's Chumrah doesn't apply. Then the Gemara says, we don't hold like that. That's not correct. If they, the only time the Chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel, and they hold that it's not a Safek Nefel, fakir, the only time it's not a Safek Nefel is if they shot the baby, or if the baby was in an accident and he was killed. But if Piyek and Meis, the baby just on its own, died when you can't explain why, then even the Chachamim would agree to Reb Shimon Gamliel that in that case it would be considered a Safek Nefel. Okay, so that's
crib death,
yeah. So what do they attribute crib death to? They attribute it to the fact that a crib death, you have even an older baby to have crib death, no? Even a year old, no? Here, the Gemara means the baby, we can't explain why it died, and it looks like it wasn't fully developed. It leads us to believe that it wasn't fully developed in the mother's womb. That it was, even if it was called al-Khadoshev, there was something missing. So that's the Gemara. Yeah, the rest we discussed. Then the Mishnah, Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the three Mishnahs. So the first Mishnah, the klal is whoever violates an aver, it says in Chumash, whoever violates an aver b'shogeg has to bring korban chatas. So that's not correct. Only one who violates an aver b'shogeg, which if he would have violated it, it would have been a chi of koris. Kol shazen a koris is shigigos chatas. Somebody, over 100 years ago, somebody was a malamed in a cheder in Europe, and he wrote a whole book, How to Be Successful as a Malamed. And he sent a copy to Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim sent him a letter. He doesn't agree with what he wrote. He wrote that when you're teaching Chumash to little children, you don't have to tell them every single Rashi. You don't have to just give Pashup Shots. He gave a mushal when you teach the Parsha of Chatos. You don't have to tell them that the Chatos is only if Zona Koris, then a Sheikh Gosachat. Reb Chaim thought that it's not correct. That's Pashup Shat and Chumash. You don't have to teach every Rashi is correct. You don't have to teach Rashi quotes from the Sifra and the Sifrei and the Mechilta. You know, you don't have to teach every Rashi. But Reb Chaim thought that that's Pashut Shal Mikra. That you got to say. So the Mishnah quotes some kind of a machlekes Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. They disagreed about a lot of things. And the Gemara has two versions from the Tanoim. What exactly is the machlekes Reb Lezer Reb Yeshua? So the Shaila is, a person was toibe dvar mitzvah on Shabbos. Let's say the din b'zman hazeh is that when the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, the Chachamim prohibited us. They say we shouldn't blow shofar. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. The first day Sukkot is going to fall on Shabbos. It means Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to blow shofar, and you're not allowed to shake a lulav because gzeir Hashem me'averen ad alamos. Before they made the Gzera de Rabban. That's the question. When did they make the Gzera de Rabban? So one of the Achrayim writes, oh, the Gzera de Rabban is waiting in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the Gemara says, the Chumash describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Trua, and on the other hand, it's described as Zichron Trua. Day on which you blow Shofar, and day on which you talk about the Kiyah Shofar. Zichron Trua. When is it? When do you talk about Shofar, and when do you actually blow the Shofar? So the Gemara first answers, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Hashabbos, then you talk about the Shofar. When it falls out in a week, then you blow shofar. Then the Gemara says, no, that's only b'dir Rabbanan. So the Gemara never explains, so why does it call it Zichron Shua? So one of the Acharenim writes, because this takana de Rabbanan was made already by Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the Midbar they observed that when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, in the 40 years in the Midbar, they didn't blow shofar. So the Baal HaTanya writes that everybody knows that that's not correct. Everybody knows that Dov Yadum, of course, all the Gzeres were made in the Tkufas by Sheni. He gives all reason, I'll pick up Bala. Why? How come only in Tkufas by Sheni they felt the need for all these Gzeres to Rabban?
Is that there were no
Gzeres before? This one was. Most of the Gzeres were made by Sheni. We learned Muktzah was already days of Dovid HaMelech. here and there in the Takanas Eruvin was the Gemara says Shlomo HaMelech made the Takanas Eruvin. Some of the Gzeres were old Gzeres. But this one, Shemi Averenu, he says, we have no evidence. The Pashto says that it was made Bisman Baishim. That's the Pashto. So Bisman is, you're not supposed to blow Shofar, you're not supposed to shake a lulav when Rosh Hashanah Sukkos falls on the Shabbos. Before they made the Gzeres the Rabban. Let's say a guy's going to carry his lulav to Shul on the first day of Sukkos. It's a din deraisa to shake a lulav. And he was toibed v'a mitzvah, v'os a mitzvah. He took his lulav to Shul to shake the lulav. And he carried the lulav and he was shus a rabban deraisa. Then he comes to Shul, he says, no, he sees nobody else has a lulav, and he realizes that it's Shabbos. He realizes that it's Shabbos, not supposed to carry the lulav to Shul. So that's toibed v'a mitzvah. He's mochuyev to shake a lulav today, mena Torah. This is before the Chachamim did away with the din. Still, he's mechuyev to shake a lulav. Toibed v'a mitzvah, v'os a mitzvah. He shook the lulav and he... The Gemara says it's not really awesome mitzvah because mirag bey nafik bey. The Gemara says when he picked it up at home, if he picked it up without any chatzitzas, he picked it up kedar kedilosa, so he was yotze ready at home. So the fact that he's carrying to shul, it's toibed va mitzvah v'loy awesome mitzvah. It's not toibed va mitzvah. He wasn't torah tir to the mitzvah. The only time Rabbi Shua holds that you potter from a chat machleis a pleis Rabbi Shua poter. The only time Rabbi Shua holds potter is. If he's Torah tir to the mitzvah, here the guy already shook the lulav. He doesn't know how to do the nanuim. So that's nanuim is taka lachatchila deraisa. I'll be pasha nanuim is a lachatchila deraisa, but that's not called Torah b'dva mitzvah. Torah b'dva mitzvah means he's Torah tir to the mitzvah. So the Gemara has over here Torah tir to the mitzvah is like this. He's the moil, and there are two babies. So one baby needs a bris. I'm the moil. I was called to do the bris on Shabbos by one baby and to do the bris on Sunday for different babies. I come on Shabbos and I'm Torah to the mitzvah. It doesn't help that there are Jews in Poughkeepsie and Jews in Passaic who have a bris this Shabbos. The question is, do I have any bris, the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. The last line right before the second Mishnah, Akuf Lam and Zayin and Aleph. The Gabi Tenek is the Alma. Yeah, you're right. The Gabi Tenek is the Amen. Did Shabbos Lidachos. The Gabi Hai Gavra Miha Loi is Chayev. If I don't have any bris, I'm the Moel. They didn't call me to do a bris on Shabbos, but I'm not Torah to the limits. So if I was called upon to do a bris today on Shabbos and a baby, it was Asetay. The baby was born last week on Shabbos. Then they made a mistake and they had me do the bris on the baby who should have had a bris on Friday, who was supposed to have the bris on Sunday. So that's called Torah tir de the mitzvah. So if I do the bris on the baby who should have had a bris on Friday, and I do it on Shabbos, that's Torah tir de the mitzvah v'yosa mitzvah. It's a milu shaloi bisman. I should have done it yesterday, and I didn't. So that's Torah tir de the mitzvah v'yosa mitzvah. So then that's one case. And then what if I'm scheduled to do a bris on Shabbos? There is a baby. I'm scheduled to do the bris, and then they gave me the wrong baby, they gave me the Sunday's bris. So if I do the bris on the baby, toch shmoina, then you're not yoytzei. We paskin that you even need hatofes on bris. The Ramah paskins, you don't need hatofes on bris. If nimol toch shmoina bayoim, so the Ramah says you don't need hatofes on bris, and the Shach disagrees. That's on the first Amud Aleph in Hilchas Milu. Hilchas Milu starts on Amud Beis, and you're there. The first Amud Aleph is machlegs the Shach and the Ramah. But said, if I have scheduled the bris today on Shabbos, kedin v'kalach, gedas v'kalach, there is a baby who was born last Shabbos. I'm Torah tir to the mitzvah, and then I made a mistake, or they made a mistake, gave me the wrong baby. I did the bris milah on the Sunday baby. That's Torah tir to the mitzvah, Torah bidar mitzvah, v'loyos a mitzvah. And if I did, by mistake, I did the bris on a Friday baby on Shabbos, so that's Torah bidar mitzvah, v'loyos a mitzvah. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. What is the case where there's a machlekes ablez and Rabbi Shua? So one version has it that Rabbi Shua only says that yepata from chatas of tov b'dva mitzvah v'osa mitzvah. But if tov b'dva mitzvah v'lo yosa mitzvah, even Rabbi Shua will agree that you are chayev chatas. The other version is fakir, that if tov b'dva mitzvah v'osa mitzvah, even ablezer will agree that you're not chayev chatas. The only time there's a machlekes ablezer, Rabbi Shua, is tov b'dva mitzvah. So that, and then the Gemara says Shneim lo lemadua elo. The whole thing is based on Mamatzino from Avodah Zarah. And at the end of Parsha Shlach, the Torah has the din that if a person worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, everything is different. The person there, Lamed Vav Krisis Amos, that's the opening Mishnah in Krisis, the 36 Averis, which the Zechi of Koris, and if you violated any one of them, b'shogeg, you have to bring achatos. So the achatos can be either Kizbo or Sira, you have a choice. But if you worship Avodah Zarah, then it's a different carbon, it's not Kizbo Sira. And then if the Bez Nagodl made a mistake and they allowed a certain Chometz, they allowed a certain Malach on Shabbos, they allowed the whatever, one of the Yisuri Kores, Chelev Dam, whatever, a certain kind of Chelev Dam, and then Rav Hatziba violated the Yisur, then the Bez Nagodl realized that they gave an incorrect Psak, and everybody needs a Kapara, so you bring a Parshas Vayikra, it says for 35 of the 36 creases, they bring a Parhalim Dovashol Tziba. And if it's Avodah Zarah, then it's a Soyer Avodah Zarah. Then it's different. You bring an Oilan, you bring a Soyer Avodah Zarah. It's a Chatos. The whole story is different. The Yochid is different, and the Tzibur is different. Everything is different. So you have the Parsha of Chatos, special Parsha of Chatos by Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah, there's always, Avodah Zarah is Kores. Avodah Zarah is Kores. So we assume that sheds light on the other Chatos, that it's only, the only Echi of Chatos, if it's a Dovish and Zonah Kores, then she goes to Chatos, and Avodah Zarah is never going to be taught by Dvar Mitzvah. What he thought it's a mitzvah to worship Avodah Zarah. Here the guy thought it's a mitzvah. He's muchiv to be Mala baby. He was the moil he was called upon to do a bismillah today. So he's Torah there did a mitzvah. So the question is, Torah, so you're learning out from Chatos, if Torah by Dvar Mitzvah, the Yosa Mitzvah, that's not Dumi de Chatos. So that's the two versions. Do you learn that Torah by Dvar Mitzvah is part of Chatos, even if lo yosa mitzvah, or only if Torah b'dvar mitzvah, yosa mitzvah. So these are the two versions of what we're not going to pass on like Rav Lezer Shamutehu, Ruba de Ruba of the cases, where there's a machlek, Rav Lezer and Rav Shul, we're not going to pass on like Rav Lezer. In a couple of rare cases, the Gemara says, halachik Rav Lezer, but here the din is not like Rav Lezer. So these are the two versions. When did Rav Yeshua's shita apply? Only if osa mitzvah, or even if lo yosa mitzvah. So that's a famous piece of Gemara. Kuf Laman Zayinim and Aleph. Then the next Mishnah has the din that a milush le bizmana is not deche yontem sheni shal Rosh Hashanah. We said it's machlekes the Rosh and the Rambam. What about chay yontem sheni shal golias? Is it deche or not? Then the Mishnah says if the baby is a little sick, kot nachoyle, the last line in the second Mishnah, kuf laman zayin, when alf kot nachoyle is a little sick, el moyle mosa chay yavri. What do you have to wait? The doctors say there's no sakana. What do you have to wait for? So that's what Avni Nezer talks about. We're so makbid. We're makbid more than the doctors are makbid. So he gives the following suggestion, and it's true. He thinks that whenever you perform a brismila, there's always a shtikl sakana. And the Tanoim were so concerned, you have to, we always have antiseptic. Nezer the Tanoim, they would bathe the baby with warm water before and after any surgery, there's a suffix sakana. So whenever there's any suffix, so that's the mitzvah of mila. You have to perform bris mila, even though there's a little bit of a suffix, sakana. But the Gemara says in the Midbar, because the weather condition, the 40 years they were traveling, the weather conditions were such that it was slightly a bigger sakana. But it wasn't a real sakana, nowhere near 50-50 sakana. It was slightly more than it's in every bris mila. What percentage of the babies die because of a bris mila? Less than 1%. So that's halachi, mechuyev to do a bismillah, even though there's a slight suffix sakana. If it wouldn't have been a mitzvah milah, if it would be another case, we would say you're allowed to drive to the hospital on Shabbos if it's a half of a percent of a suffix sakana. People are nervous about it. But here the Torah says you have to perform bismillah, even though this is shtikl suffix sakana, and they're nervous about it. But if you already a little bit more added on, because the weather conditions are a little strange, because the baby's a little bit sick, so the doctors think, baby's a little bit sick, baby has a cold, a stuffed nose or something, so garnished. So the halacha says, no, if there's a slightly bigger suffix sakana, you have to postpone the bris, you don't do it then. Then the Gemara says it makes a difference by the chola kol aguf and chola miktsas men aguf. Chola miktsas men aguf, you just wait till the chola is over. Chola kol gufar, then you have to wait 7 full days meis leis. Gemara has shayla, and Gemara comes to the conclusion, wait 7 full days, may slice. So that's problematic. What's the difference between chola kol aguf? When do you declare the baby's chola kol aguf? When do you say it's only partially? So they have traditions on this. What's considered chola kol aguf and what's considered chola miktsas men aguf? What if, well, let's say They're supposed to wait 7 days after the doctors say the baby is no longer b'sakon. If it was chol agal guf, you have to wait 7 full days. And the 7 full days, meis leis. I remember once here in the yeshiva, we had to have a bris 4 o'clock in the afternoon because the doctors released the baby a week before 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they said so they had to wait till exactly till a week later, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And what if you didn't wait the 7 full days? What if you did the mila terch hazman? That's called mila terch zmanoi. So the poskim say it's not mila terch hazman; it's already after the 8th day. So that's mila bish. It's after mila bishmini. That's not a problem. It's just a shtickle suffix akana. So suffix akana. So the Gemara recommends you should wait 7 full days meyaslanes. But if you didn't wait the full days. Supposed to wait lachatchila because you're causing an additional bit of a sakana. If you didn't wait, you did the mila after the shmini, but it was in the middle of the 8 days. So let's say the baby was a little bit of a chayla. So the Mishnah says he's supposed to postpone the bris. They didn't listen to the Mishnah. They listened to the doctor. The doctor said the baby is perfectly okay. You know, he's a little bit sick. It won't affect the lomala v'lomar. Then we are concerned. It adds on slightly more sakana. So if you did the bris when you weren't supposed to. Because of medical consideration, that's not called mila terch hazman. That b'dieved will be kosher. In the midbar, the Gemara says Shevet Levi did observe bris mila. The rest of the shvatim didn't. Why? It was nowhere near 50-50 suffix sakana. Every bris is a half of a percent of a suffix sakana. Probably less than a half a percent. A certain percentage of babies are going to die because of the bris mila. So that's halacha. You have to perform the bris. Even though there's a slight suffix sakana, but the minute you see that there's a little more suffix sakana, so then you don't perform the bris. So the shad is, what if the little bit more is so far-fetched? It's ridiculous. People laugh at it. So Shevet Levi had bitachon in the Rabbanu Shalom, so they were laughing. They didn't consider that any more of a suffix sakana. The rest of the shvatim were concerned. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give them tochachon. They didn't give the others tochachon.
He praised them.
Yeah, he praised them. So how come he didn't tell the other shvatim they should be male baby? Yeah. The answer is no, they were nervous about it. The other shvatim were nervous about it. Shevet Levi had more bitochen, so they were not nervous. That seems to be the din. Whenever you have a suffix sakana, it's nowhere near 50-50. Whenever you have a suffix sakana, so for the one who's nervous, it's considered a suffix sakana. For the one who's not nervous, not considered a suffix sakana.
That's why
that's the din by Shabbos also.
Subjective,
yeah.
And maybe always put this choose about if like the person's like assuming he's not a lunatic, obviously. If the person like has some chashash, it's like everyone.
Sometimes it's so far fetched. We say butl daitet so das kol banyan. That's utterly ridiculous. No, but if it's a bit of a suffix sakana, that's not utterly ridiculous. So then the din is it depends on each person. So here the baby is not a bar hachi to make a decision. So it depends on whoever is responsible for the baby's health. So the parents have to make the decision. That's what you see from this Gemara. The parents have the right to make the decision. And Melamed Lohoyel has a tshuva about a 4-year-old baby girl who is bisakona, and the doctor said that there's a risky procedure that they can do, and it's a possibility that she may die earlier than otherwise. Maspil, it may help her and extend the life significantly. So if it would be an adult, then the Gemara says it's up to the adult to make the decision whether he wants to undergo this procedure or not. The Shad says it's a little baby. So Malam Lahal writes, and no one has a right to make the decision for her. If the doctors would recommend you should Dabke do this, okay? So the doctors think that this is the route to take. Doctors don't recommend anything. They say it's everything is iffy. So everything is iffy. So then it depends on the decision of the chayla, whatever the chayla decides. But the chayla can't make a decision. So he said the parents don't have a right to decide. So the pashtus. This is Gemara Yevamos that says that in the midbar.
They don't have a right to decide, so what you're going to do.
Shave al tasa. So you leave it the way it is. That's what he passed. Shave al tasa. So the Pashtus says that this Gemara contradicts what he said. The Pashtus, this Gemara is that the parents made the decision in the midbar. So the Shevet Levi made the decision to go ahead and perform the bris milah on the baby because they had more bitachon. The rest of the Shvatim were concerned about it. Shaila's wife, but even if Shevet Levi was not concerned because it's so far-fetched, but still, shouldn't it be like the Avnei Nezer said? The weather conditions were such that it was slightly different from the way it normally is. So doesn't that enhance the suffix sakana? Where the Avnei Nezer said, every bris milah has a bit of a suffix sakana. Torah says you have to ignore it. But if it has more than that little bit, then that's the Mishnah that you don't ignore it. So even Shevet Levi, what does it help? They have bitochen. But it's a slightly more suffix sakana. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly.
And we do wear it in 7 days.
Yeah.
Even though the doctor says 100%, no problem.
Right.
It seems like, okay, the parents are not worried, do it.
Right. So the halacha says you have to wait 7 full days. If it's chola kol aguf, it's only chola mixas man aguf, then not. So a lot of times that's hard to determine. Is it called chola kol aguf or not? So you have to contact people who have traditions of that thing. Here in the yeshiva, whenever they have this kind of shayla, is it considered chola kol aguf or mixas man aguf? So you always tell them they should contact Dr. Abraham, because Dr. Abraham in Eretz Yisrael, he put out this Sefer Nishmas Abraham, I think. Dr. Abraham. He put out the Sefer Nishmas Avraham, and he asked all the Shadis to Reb Shlomo Zalman, Oyebach, and to Rav Neuwirth, who also was Mashamish Reb Shlomo Zalman. So he has a lot of, and to the Tzitzel, he has a lot of traditions on these things. So he knows better. Okay. So that's the Gemara. I think in the days of the Mishnah, the doctors also said it's not a problem. Just that it's they hold it so insignificant that you have a right to ignore it. So the Abdenazis gave this explanation, said that every bris milah is anyway a suffix sakana, but the Torah says you have to be mal. But if the suffix sakana is slightly more enhanced because of anything, the doctors will agree that the baby is a little sick. So there is a little bit more of a risk to perform the bris milah when the baby is a little weak, his defense system is not as good as it normally is. So doctors think that nonetheless you don't have to worry about it. So the halacha says you have to worry. If it's slightly more suffix sakana than it normally is, then the halacha says you have to worry. So that's the pella. So why is by in the midbar? Why was Shevet Levi allowed to ignore it? Shouldn't it be covered with the same thing? I don't know. Again, you want to distinguish that what?
The case of the mitzvah, like the mitzvah, that was for a mitzvah. That's why Shevet Levi maybe had extra room to be machmer or make or whatever you want to call it to do it. Mashiach came in surgery case, and I was talking about with the parents. Maybe they didn't have a choice to do it because it's not for a mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you let the baby die. He says you leave the baby alone. Shev al taso, if the Malam Lohel says. The child is b'sakana.
The choice was he's going to die if nothing happens?
Yeah. The baby is b'sakana, and the doctors have a risky procedure, and it could be that it'll hasten the death, and it could be that it'll extend the life.
Okay, how long is he supposed to live?
So they don't think he's going to live 12 months. That's a Gemara Navarizar. The Gemara learns that from the story Abba Mitzarayim, the Haftarah of Parshas Mitzarayim. So it says that the Abba Mitzarayim were sitting in Pesach Shar Shamron, and they ran out of food. And Shamron was under siege by the armies of Aram, and they felt they better surrender to Aram. They decided they may kill us on sight. Like this, we'll live another 5 days, and they may kill us right away when we'll surrender. Or they may take us prisoners of war, and they'll hold us, and we'll live much longer. They may keep us alive for longer. So because of this risk, so they had their right. You see from the Tanakh records that they chose to surrender to the armies of Aram. Then it turned out there was no army of Aram. They had all ran away. They ran away the day before. So you see from the Tanakh that you're allowed to take such a risk. So the Shaila is, what if it's a little baby? So the baby can't make this decision. Baby doesn't understand Michlal what's going on. Do the parents have the right to make such a decision for the baby? So the Malam of the Hall thinks that not. And the Pashtus in the Gemara in Yavam is by the Shevet Levi versus the other Shvat. Pashtus says that you see that parents do have the right to make the decision. Not the same kind of decision. That you're not talking about the baby's going to die. So Shaila, whether do you have to be concerned about this suffix sakana or not? But you see in Atzara Shava, in both cases, the patient has a right to make a decision. He has the right to make a decision whether he's nervous about this particular suffix sakana, and he has the right to make a decision. He would prefer this over that. If you have the chayisha versus chayyadam, and everything is a risk. Could be that there's, it could be that there is a difference. Could be. Yeah. What's the din of Mila? This should really be the first line in Hilchas Mila. It should be in the beginning of the perek. Yeah. Beginning of the perek talks about the detail should be detail. Whether Machshiri Mila Shev Shlasim Bodyom is Dech HaShavis. This is the depth, like Masechas Gittin. You don't get to the text of the get till you learn Daf Pehei. And the Masechta begins with a din de Rabbanim, a fun echtam, a fun echtam. A din de Rabbanim. The Gemara says, all the din of the Rabbanim they put first. Okay, that was the style. So this is the real din of Mila. So there's a Torah, is the Gid, and Basa HaChayfas, Reif HaTorah. So you have to cut off Basa HaChayfas, Reif HaTorah. A Torah is a crown. So we know there are two types of crowns. You have a crown on a Sefer Torah that goes up like this. Sometimes you have a crown that goes up. Sometimes you just have a crown that goes around. So here there's a big machlekes, the Beis Yosef quotes machlekes. Which part of the Gid is considered the Ator? So the Beis Yosef quotes Memchav Matzasi Kosuv, a Chacham Svardi, he doesn't identify who it is. A Chacham Svardi says, Matzasi Kosuv, a Chacham Svardi says, the Ator is a Chut HaMakif. At the tip of the Aver, so all the other Rishpaskim hold, the whole tip of the Aver, and the whole tip is considered Atar. So Chas, Abbas, Al-Khaifas, Rav Atar means the skin that covers the Rav of the Atar. So let's say if you cut off Bas, Al-Khaifas, Rav Atar, but you have a quarter of an inch left on the bottom of the Orla, that quarter of the inch is covering up the whole Chut HaMakif, the whole bottom of the tip of the Ator. So according to most of the Rishonim, that would be good. He cut off the Basal Chayfas Reif Ator. According to the Chacham Svardi that the Beis Yosef quotes, the kid is 100% oral, because the Atorah doesn't mean the whole tip of the Gid. It means only the Chut HaMakif. So Basal Chayfas Reif Ator is mamish, a lot of people who have a Bris Mila will be mamish and oral, because they didn't cut off enough that it should expose the Chut HaMakif. So that's the shayla, how do we paskin? That's a serious. So the Rav paskin with all the halacha, like the Chacham Svardi, that it depends on the Chut HaMakif. It doesn't depend the whole tip of the Gid. All that counts is the Chut HaMakif. Then there's a further shayla. The Gemara has a din, the last line in the Mishnah, has a din, and the Gemara Nami Beis discusses in the Gemara, there's a din marisayin. Today, there's hardly any marisayin. When a guy goes to mikveh and there are other men in the mikveh, it doesn't happen. Years ago, they had a public bathhouse. So there's an issue of marisayin. A guy's going to go to, a guy's going to be undressed. Let's say people are fat, so they have a lot of fatty skin. So when the baby was 8 days old and molded a bris mila, everybody said it was good. And then later on, let's say nimshachor losay, orla grew back. On the day that he did the bris, it was good. Or because he's fat, he's a balbosa, the baby is fat, the person is fat, so they have a lot of fatty tissue there. So there's a marisayin. It looks a little bit as if the guy is an oral. So mishum marisayin, the Mishnah says. Mhoya balbosa, if the baby is fat, mistaknam if they marisayin. Same thing, nimshachor losam. They did a bris mila on the 8th day, and then later on, somehow the orla grew back again. So midirabbanan, it's good the way it is. Midirabbanan, you have to din a marisayin. You have to perform a bris again. That's a shad. You say a brochanat. They say a brochanat marisayin. That's a steer in Shulchan Aruch. It says when you shech the ben pakua, when you shech the cow, and there's an uber inside, so the uber is nita b'shchita simo. But midirabbanan, the Mishnah says if hifris agabi karka, if the vlad comes out of the mother's rechem, after you shech the mother, vlad comes out and he's walking around, so then Mishum Marisayin. People are not going to know the whole history. Not everybody's going to know that they shechted the mother and the uber was inside. So Mishum Marisayin, you have to shech the vlad. If hifris agabi karka. So that says there in Yeridaya, Mishum Marisayin, you shechted it, and you say, brocha, ala shchita. Shekereshan, v'sas v'tzvan ala shchita. And in Hilchas Chanukah, it says that b'yishyesh l'shnei psochim, if I have a house and the house is visible on both sides of the street, people over here can see the house, they all know this is my house. But some people only walk on that street, some people only walk on this street. So if I'm going to light a menorah only on one side, people on the other side will think that it wasn't here. It's in the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. So Mishum Marisayin, even after I lit the first menorah, I have to light another menorah. So there the Rambam quotes the Ran that you don't say a bracha. Since the second hadlaka is only Mishum Marisayin, so you don't say a bracha. Marisayin is to prevent yourself from violating an Isser. You're not allowed to do something Mishum Marisayin. That's an Isser. So when a person takes a shave with an electric shave, he doesn't say a bracha. Shekirashan Zavsan Shalola Galech Betar. When he eats kosher food, he doesn't say a bracha. Shekirashan Zavsan Shalola Echol Machol Asasir. You only say a bracha when you're in fulfillment of a mitzvah. When you do something in order to avoid violation of an Avera, Marisayin is an Avera. You're not allowed to do something in such a way that you'll cause a Marisayin. So this is Stirin Shulchan Aruch, whether you say a bracha now. So the Achrenim talk about this there. The Kvegan quotes the Prichodosh, talks about the Stira. How come in Hilchas Chanukah the Rambam says you don't say a bracha? In Hilchas Shechita, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashbo, I think, that you do say a bracha, Shechita is Ben Pekul. So we know what the difference is. It's still a question. One case, by the Menorah, by the Chanukah, there's an issue of Marisayin. So Marisayin, you don't say a bracha. And by Shechitas Ben Pekua, Midirabbanon, because of the consideration of Marisayin, it made a takana that the Ben Pekua needs Shechita. Not just you better shech that otherwise going to be a Marisayin. Marisayin is the reason why they made a takana, the Etzema takana moves on its own now. The takana is that Ben Pekua is Tom Shechita. So there's a mitzvah Midirabbanon to shech. Yeah, but how do you know? When do you say Marisayin is just what motivated the Chum to make a takana? When do you say the whole din is Marisayin? So that's a question over here. Would you say a bracha? I don't think so. I don't think. We got to look in here every day. I don't think you say a bracha when you're going to be mal the baby a second time because he's not near a mahul. It's a marisayin. I think we would pass on. Don't say a bracha here. So here the Gemara has a machloikas, says strange, machloikas Shmuel against the Tana Rab Shimon Gamliel. Shmuel argues with the Tana. The Tana is quoted from a Tosefta, Rab Shimon Gamliel, and Shmuel argues with the Tana. When do you have this marisayin? Is it only if he's really near a oral? What if he's near a vena nira? Sometimes it does look like an oral, sometimes it doesn't look like an oral. Do you only have the marisayin if he's always near a oral? Or do you say, no, you have the marisayin even if it's sometimes he's near a little bit oral? So that's a machlokes, how far you go with the marisayin. But this, we assume this marisayin, this is only midirabbanan. There's not a real din minatar. So Ibn Aget to this marisayin, the Gemara has a loshin, Shmuel has a loshin. Kolz manchim is kasha, v'nira mohu. The Eva hazachra sometimes is in a erect position, and then the orla will be the atora will be more exposed because the orla will be moved back. And when it's in a relaxed position, when it's not bikisha yever, then the person is a balbasa will be nearer oral. So the Gemara says this marisayin depends kol shemansa mishkasha v'nira oral. You determine it when the eva ha'orla is in a state of kisha yever. So that big machlokes in achrayim. This is benegeta marisayin. What about benegeta the real din deraisa? What about benegeta the real din deraisa? Let's say if you hold that the chut ha-makif is the atara, and if you have basa ha-chayfa, you can cut off all of the or ha-orla, the whole kemat, 80% of the atara is megula. If you hold atara means the whole tip, and then you'll have the whole chut ha-makif is mechusa. Chut ha-makif is mamish, just the thing that goes around on the bottom. You can have the whole thing will be mechusa. But what if when you have kisha yever, so the whole thing is megula? So do you determine on the level of the raisa when the aver is in a kisha yever, or is that only being geared to the din derabbanan of marisayin? That's a further machlokes. The Shach quotes that's a further machlokes. There's a sefer that was put out anonymously. They say it was put out by a balabos called Yad Haktana. Yad Haktana is on the Rambam. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes it in the Hilchas Mila a few times. So Yad Haktana, he has a lot on the Rambam in Hilchas Yisod Yatora, talks about Amuna, talks a lot of things. And here in Hilchas Mila, he has a lot to say. So he, whoever this author was, he thinks L'chumra on both of these. He thinks you have to be Machmed Chut HaMakif, and he thinks you have to be Machmed that it doesn't depend B'shas Kisha Yever. Kisha Yever, that's for the Marisayin issue. If B'shas Kisha Yever is near a Megula, is near a mahul, so then there's no marisayin. But he thinks on the level of the raisa, whether it's a good meal or not, has to be, the whole chut ha-makiv should be megula when the Eber is not in a state of kishon. It's a chumr on top of a chumr. He adopts the both chumr dikah positions. The Minchas Aluza was a moil. So they say, the Minkatcha. So they say that he used to go to the mikveh. Sometimes he saw other people there that were undressed. So he would insist he's gonna continue to do the bris milah. Because he held from these chumras also. He held that the Torah means chut ha-makiv, not the whole tip. Only the chut ha-makiv on the bottom of the what we call the Torah. And then he was machmer that it doesn't depend on Shas Kishay Eber. Even when the Eber is relaxed also. So it's going to be a chumra on top of a chumra. That's a serious shayla, an isa koris. Shayla ben isa koris.
Where
is the shayla
about
whether it's Bishas Kishay? I think that's in the Shach. The Shach has the 2 days from Achreinus. And the other one, what's called the Atar, that the Beis Yosef quotes from Matzasi Kosel Chacham Svardi. Probably also Achreinus.
How could there be
That's the shayla. What does the word Atar refer to? Does it refer to the whole tip of the Eiver? Or no, only this chut ha-makif is the Atar.
Gova
means over there. If you have most of the Atar is Megula, and in one spot you have a tzitz, you have a little bit of flesh that's covering the roiv of this teeny-weeny passageway. It's so thin. So if you have basa chayfa roiv gova afal pishena roiv hakeifa, it's a big chumra. Then the Gemara quotes the Braisa that when you perform bris mila you have to recite a brocha, a tosefta and brochas. Yeah, hamol ayim asher shana ala mila. The Gemara brocha. The Gemara himself in Dav Zayin asks, why do you say ala mila? Why don't you say lomol? The Gemara says, what do you mean? The Moyel is Mechuyiv. The Moyel is not Mechuyiv to be Mal, my baby. What if the Avi HaBen is Mal, his own baby? The Chiv is Mutal on the Avi HaBen. So the Gemara says, Anachinami. So the Ramah Paskin is like the Gemara. When the father is Mal, the baby says, Shekshem Sassana, Lomel is HaBen. When someone else is Mal, my baby, so the Moyel is not Mechuyiv. He says, Alamila. Regarding Lomel is HaBen means it is Hashir. Tvitz Ivana, Lomel is HaBen. If the father is performing the Bila, then you say, most Rishonim don't accept that Rama. Most Rishonim hold that was a suggestion in the Gemara in the Sugi, but we don't accept that Lalach. Yeah, then the Rama has another Chiddush in Hilchas Mila, which does not appear in the Gemara. It appears some earlier Rishonim that he said, and every bris he says Shachyon. We only have in the Gemara that when you do a Pidyon HaBen, you say Shachyon. That's the last piece of Gemara in Pesachim. Avi HaBen Levarach Shtayim. Avi HaBen, the Gemara had a shayla, who says Shachyanu? Avi HaBen or the Kohen? Should I say the Avi HaBen says the Brocha? Because he's performing the mitzvah, maybe the Kohen should say the Shachyanu, because he's getting the money. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Hilchos Avi HaBen Mevarach Shtayim. But the Gemara never says that you say Shachyanu when you perform a bris milo. So that's the Rambam has like that. So he has it some earlier Rishonim also say like that. But that's the common practice, is that you don't say Shechem. When Eretz Yisrael, the practice is that they do say Shechem. They follow the Rambam on this issue. They say Shechem at every bris. He used to be a famous moil in Eretz Yisrael. He was a big character, Yosola. He used to do bris and all over. He put out a sefer on Hilchos Mila. He has chidushim there. So he used to say jokingly, he was the moil by my grandchildren. He used to say jokingly, in Chutz Loretz, you don't say Shechem by the bris because there's Tzaira Dinuka. The Gemara says, but in Eretz Yisrael, Yosala does the bris. So there's no Tzara Dinuka. So we say Shachyanu. There's no reason not to say. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, in addition to the bracha, Alamila, he's saying another bracha, Shekedishanu b'mitzvah se'vitzvah lachnis v'visah shal Avraham Avinu. So there's a machlek zidra ben Tam and the Rashbam. The old girsa, the Rashbam was known for changing girsas. He was, whenever he thought there was a mistake in the Gemara, so he would change the text in the Gemara. Rabbi Natan was the younger brother. There were three brothers. Rashi's daughter married Rabbi Meir, Talmud Chacham, so he had three sons. So the oldest was the Rashbam. He used to learn with Rashi. He quotes Rashi a lot, and then the Rabbi Natan was a little baby when Rashi died. And then the third brother was born after Rashi. He died. He was named after Rashi, Ben Ishmael. Yaban Chulin. There's a Mishnah at the end of Kalabasa about Keva. So there's a long Arichas and Rashi. So it says, Ad Kamer Rabben Ishlema. That was Rashi's grandson. Wrote a whole Arichas there. So the Rashbam and the Rabben Etam had a lot of machloikis in about a lot of things. So the Rashbam used to change.
Isn't there Rivam also?
The Rivam was a.
Rivam
was also a brother.
I think so.
I don't know. Could be.
And Meir, he was the cousin.
Don't know. I thought there were just three brothers. I thought
there was only one daughter, right?
He probably had more than one daughter.
So there were times
when
Rashbam
for
one daughter, there wasn't a
Rebam from
a different
name? Don't know.
I'll have to check.
Don't know. So the Rashbam's practice used to be he would change the gears and the Gemara. Rabbi Natan writes in the Sefer Yosher that he asked his brother, he shouldn't change the gears in the Gemara. Write in your pirish that you think it's a mistake. Maybe someone will understand the text of the Gemara the way it says. You've got to change the text of the Gemara, so the next generation, everybody's going to think that that was the old girsa. So here also, Tosis presents it. The old girsa was the way it says by us. Hamol Aimer Alamilo, and Avi Aben Aimer afterwards, Lachne Visu Shal Avram Avinu. The Rashbam thinks that it's a mistake, that it should say in the reverse, that the Avi Aben says, Oy velasi osam. He says, before you perform the bris milah, when you put the baby on Kisa Shel Elio, then you say, Lachnisa B'Bisa Shel Avram Avinu. Many Sfardim have that practice. They follow the Rashbam Shita here. But so the Rabbein and Tam says, what did he change the Girsa? The old Girsa is good the way it says. We have the old Girsa. First, the Moel says, Al Amila, and he performs the bris right away. Then the Avi Aben should say, Lachnisa B'Bisa Shel Avram Avinu. After the bris milah. Why? Don't we have a rule? That's with the Rashbam Tana. Don't we have a rule? Kol haMitzvos Kulam Mevarach Aleihem Ovel Asiyosam. Lachnisa is a Birchas HaMitzvah. It starts with HaShekel Hashanah B'Mitzvos HaVitzivano. Lachnisa B'Yisrael Shel Avraham Avinu. So doesn't Halacha require all the brachas should be recited Ovel Asiyosam? So the Rabbein Tam says, not. There are some exceptions to the rule, and he gives an exception to the rule, Birchas Erisin. Birchas Erisin is also a machlekes harishonim. The Rambam sheet is the Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah and it has to be recited before the chassan gives the ring to the kala. And if he already gave the ring to the kala, mashanase kvanase frafal. You can't say the Birchas Erisin. Birchas Nisuin is always said la'achar asiyasam. Birchas Nisuin is not asher kadoshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. Sheva brachas, that's Birchas Shevach Mo'idoy. Birchas Shevach Mo'idoy is always lachar asiyosim, after the thunder, after the lightning, after you see the ocean, after you see the Alps, after you see Mishana Habrius, after you see all the things, then Birchas Shevach Mo'idoy is after. I win a sweepstakes or someone dies, and so you don't have to guess when the person is going to die. Say the bracha over asiyosim. That when you have a Birchas HaShevach, a Birchas Mo'idoy, it's always lachar asiyosim. So the Sheva brachas that you say Birchas Nisuin. That's after the Nisuin is done. You can say it after. The Beis Yosef quotes Aran that even though the Sheva Brachas is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, the Aran thinks still you should try to say, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam Mevarach Aleihem Ovel HaSiyosim. So you should really say the Sheva Brachas before they walk under the Chuppah. Our meaning is not so. They're standing under the Chuppah already. The way the Beis Yosef quotes the Aran, well, you should do it like this. Choshen give the ring, say Harem Kadashis Li, then they should say Birchas Nisuin, then walk under the canopy, then walk under the Oyvel Asiyos. We don't do like that. So how can we say Lachar Asiyos? The answer is it's a Birchas HaShevach. It's not Faket. Birchas HaShevach normally is recited. Lachar Asiyos, a Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Rambam insists that the Bracha must be recited Oyvel Asiyos before the Choshen gives the ring to the Kala. If he already did the Mitzvah, Farfal. The Rambam Shita is whenever you require Birchas HaMitzvah to be recited prior to the mitzvah, if you already did it, so it's too late, mashanas and kvanas. Unless, let's say, the person put on a talis and it's too early to say the bracha, put on tefillin, it's before Mishayakir, and he's still wearing the talis and tefillin. So he's still wearing it, so now it is Ovel HaSiyosim. He's saying the bracha prior to the continuation of wearing the talis.
Why couldn't I say that the Erisin is also?
Because the person is not doing anything. They are married, but he's not doing it. Here he's wearing the tefillin. So it should look a little better, so the Gemara says you should touch the tefillin. But basically, even if you don't touch the tefillin, it's good, pashtus. And you said that you put on the talis too early before Mishayakir and you started to daven, so then you should touch the tzitzis. But basically, even if you don't touch the tzitzis, it's also evelosios. And Moshe Feinstein has a difficult tshuva. He talks about when do you put up the mezuzah. What if I rented a part, I don't know how long I'm going to be there. So if you rent in Eretz Yisrael, you're mechuyev to put a mezuzah right away. Secha b'ayis b'Eretz Yisrael, you're mechuyev miyad. Shem yushev Eretz Yisrael. You rent b'chutz lo, you're not mechuyev till 30 days. So what does that mean? So there's a big machloek, some Rishonim say, if you rented for more than 30 days, mechuyev in mezuzah from day number one. If you rent today, you don't know how long you're going to stay there. Then it'll turn out, when it comes the 31st day, then you put up a mezuzah. And you don't put a mezuzah before, you may not stay there 30 days. But if you sign the 2-year lease on the apartment, say, you're only going to be there for more than 30 days, you put the mezuzah right away. So that's a mefurish and machloikis. That's a machloikis and achreinim. That's a machloikis and achreinim. So the Beis Halevi in the Sefer HaChumash has her oris on Hilchus mezuzah. So he says he thinks it should be machma like the Derech HaChaim Siddur. Derech HaChaim, the Nesibis, writes in the Siddur like that. If he rented for more than 30 days, you should put the mezuzah right away. So the Beis Halevi writes, he thinks that you should really be machma like the Derech HaChaim Siddur, because the Nevi Yosef writes like that. Some of the Rishonim write like that, so there's a mocha. So this Dechemer was written around the same time, I think, as the Beis Halevi, maybe a little later, as the Beis Halevi, and Chum says, Dechemer says, what do you mean, some of the Rishonim? It's a mefurish and machlekes and Rishonim, like it's a mefurish and machlekes and achreinim. So some Rishonim hold, you're not supposed to say a bracha. So what should you do to satisfy the both opinions? So Moshe Feinstein says, he'll solve the problem. You rent an apartment, you sign a 2-year lease, so he says, put up the mezuzah day number one, and don't say a bracha. Then when it comes to the 31st day, you touch the mezuzah, like when you put on the talis and tefillin. So you don't say a bracha, it's before Mashiach, so then you touch the talis and tefillin, here also you touch the mezuzah. So everybody disagrees with Ramosha. That's very difficult. When you put on the talis and tefillin, you're still wearing the talis and the tefillin. That's considered Oyvel Asiyos, and that's called your Asiyah. When you nail the mezuzah up, there's no more Asiyah. The whole Asiyah only is the Kviyas HaMezuzah. You totally shave out tassels. What does it help that you touch the mezuzah, you kiss the mezuzah? That doesn't make it Oyvel Asiyos. By the talis and tefillin, the fellow's still wearing the talis and tefillin. And Mikra Adin, he doesn't even have to touch it. You touch it so it looks even better. It looks like he's putting it on now. But even if you don't touch it, he's still wearing it. But let's say by the Birchus Eris, and the Rambam says, Mashanasa Kranasa. Rafal, he got married. The marriage is still present. The woman is still an Eishes Ish. He's married to her. But he's not doing any Asiyah. He's personally. Likvaya Mezuzah. So you should say. Right, did it already. So that's a difficult Shuvah Ramosha. It's one Tamachacham, a prominent Tamachacham. One summer, a whole bunch of boys came from Camp Masora to Tannisville, and they were learning Kiddushin that summer. So Rabbi Goldberg asked me to say a shir in Masechus Kiddushin. So one of my neighbors was older than me, so I invited him, he should also say a shir. So he told over an incident. He's a famous, prominent Talmid Chacham, he's older than me, at least 10 years older than me. So he told the story the first time he was Masada Kiddushin by his Rebbe Hazan Yeshiva. First time Masada Kiddushin, he was so nervous. So he forgot to say the Birchas Eresin. He had the chassan give the rings to Ari HaMekudesh Asli. And then what does he do? It's a machlek is the Rambam and all the Rishonim, where he can say Baruch Lach HaSasim. So he was telling all the boys what happened. And he told them, make sure you don't make the mistake. Yeah. I remember I attended such a wedding, Taka. I remember many years ago, about 30 years ago, the grandfather of the chassan was so excited. The grandfather was Masada Kedushin. He forgot to say the bracha. Then they were already reading the ksuba. So I walked up and I said, they forgot to say the birchas eresin. You had him do the kiddushin. So that's not machlokes. Anyway, so
how do we paskin?
In Yeridaya, the Rambam says the same by shechita. She said, bracha ala shechita, oiva lasi osim. And if you shech, the bema ready far from. So that's in Simi Yutes. In Hilcha Shechita, Simi Yutes is birchas hashechita. So the Ozarua disagrees with the Rambam. The Ozarua has arrived in the Mishnah at the end of Psachim that even Lach Rasiyosan, if he took off the tefillin at 8 o'clock in the morning, then he wakes up at 8 o'clock at night, that he didn't say the bracha. Some of that's too far. It's not Mitzurik. But he takes off the tefillin. As he takes him off, he realizes he forgot to say the bracha. So the Ozarua says he can say the bracha Lach Rasiyosan if it's right away. So the Ramah quotes the Ozarua in Yeridei Al-Halacha. He says, if you have an animal which you know in advance it's a suffix trefa, the animal fell down a flight of stairs, and maybe that it broke some bone, maybe it has a punctured lung because of their broken ribs. So you shouldn't say a bracha. Whenever you shecht an animal, maybe it's going to be a trefa, maybe a bracha levatov. The answer, you go basuroi, brab behemis saksheris. So you say a bracha levatov. But if the animal fell down a flight of stairs and there's reason to question, maybe it's really a trefa, the halacha requires you have to be boidic for the trefas in such a case, then it says you don't say the bracha. So then the Ramah paskens like the Ozarua. In such a case, you should, after you finish the shechita, check in the lungs to see that there are no punctured lungs, not a trefa. Then once you ascertain it's not a trefa, then you can say the bracha lachar al siyos. So the Shach says, the Shach quotes the whole Rambam and Ozarua. He says the Ramah paskens like the Ozarua. So some of the Nesek Kelim say no, because the Gemara says in Psochem on Dav Zayin and Atsugya that the ger says the bracha tovol ve'ola. After the ger comes out from the mikveh, he doesn't say the bracha in advance. Gemara says, "Akati gavel achazi." He's not Jewish. He can't say kedushanu b'mitzayis of tzivanu ala tefila. He's not Jewish, so he has to wait till after he comes out of the mikveh, and then he can say the bracha. Because akati gavel achazi, so kach tikna chachamim. In that case, the misakne say the bracha after. So some of the neisikelim on simin yotes and yeridei say, if the animal is a suffix trefa because it fell down a flight of stairs, it's gavel lochazi. The halacha says you're not supposed to say the bracha. When is there machlekes, the Rambam and the Ozarua, when it was a normal animal, where you should have said the bracha in advance. If you got to say in advance, you say the bracha lachar al siyos. But here the halacha says that there's a doubt. You have to be boidik the lungs if it fell down a flight of stairs to make sure it's not a trefa. So in this case, even the Rambam would agree, akati gavel lochazi. You weren't supposed to say the bracha in advance. So in this case, kach tikna chacham. So some claim that the Shulchan Aruch never really paskin like the Ozarua. The Shach presents it, this machlek is Ramam the Ozarua, and the Ramah is paskin like the Ozarua. They can say the bracha lachar al siyasim. And other Nesikelim on the page say no. Only in this case the Ramah said like that. Because even the Ramah would agree that akati gavel lochazi, because of the suffix before. That's a shaila, how would we paskin? That's a machlek is lachrenim and simen yotes. How would we paskin in this case?
The difference that by
the sheet
it's a matir, so fine, you didn't make a bracha, so it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt necessarily anything. You just forgot the bracha. It's not
mitzvah.
But by the mitzvah, that's the
birchas
erusin. It's gone.
You know, you didn't
do it.
There is a difference. The question, there is a chilek. The question is the chilek machalek or not? There is a chilek. Question is the chilek is machalek. And he leaves it like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Maybe it's just the answer for Moshe. If you go because the words are ruined, not like doesn't burn and say like the Shach. Is that the answer for Moshe?
The answer for Moshe is that, but it's 30 days later. He put the mezuzah up 30 days ago. Now he's going to touch it. That's very difficult. Rabbi Kivega has tshuvas about this. Rabbi Kivega assumes not like Rabbi Moshe. That's what they point out. Rabbi Kivega assumes the only time it helps to touch it is by the tzitzis and the tefillin, because you're still wearing it. Yeah. See here, this is a machlekes, the Rashbam and the Rabbi Natam. So Rashbam changed the girsa in the Gemara, and he has it first. And Rabbi Natam said, what is he changing the girsa? It's good the way it is. The bracha should be recited lachar al siyasim. Yeah, but normally a birchas hamitzvah is oivel al siyasim. So the tesis in Sochem Dav Zayin makes a tushdom that they think just like they held that birchas, the Rambam writes birchas erusin is recited oivel al siyasim before the chosin gives the ring. The Ravid argues with the Rambam, Hasogas the Ravid, he says, no, I'm going to say a bracha before I give the ring, then the girl may refuse to marry me. I mean, we marched down the aisle and we sent that wedding invitation, everybody's here. But still, my mitzvah, she has to agree. So how can I say a bracha relying on her? She may back out and I'll be left with a bracha levatola. So the Ravid recommends, it's a birchas mitzvah. You really should have said oivel al siyasim, but because it's totally bidas hacherim, so you should say the bracha lachar al siyasim. After he gave the ring and the girl didn't object, then the chosin should say. And the Rabbein Tam says, the Rabbein Tam and Tosis himself says, no, it's a different kind of a birchas mitzvah. We don't say b'tzivanu l'karash ha'tzuhisha. B'tzivanu al-arois, v'asal l'anus ha'arus, v'hitil l'anus ha'tzuhisha. A long nusach ha'brocha. It's not a normal birchas hamitzvah. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that there's a different kind of a bracha. This bracha should be recited, birchas eretz, and should be recited dafke after lachar asiyos. The Taz and Siman Aleph, Yaredeya, presents it as if the Rabbeinu Tam said that it's a birchas shebach v'hodo. Birchas shebach v'hodo is always lachar asiyos, after the thunder, after the lightning, after you see the ocean, after you see the Alps, after you experience this unusual thing. So the way the Taz presents the Rabbeinu Tam, what he said was that ala mila is a birchas hamitzvah. He's about to perform the ma'aseh hamitzvah, and lachnisa b'bisa shel Avraham Avinu is a birchas shebach v'hodo. The next one is kiddush you did b'bet, and that for sure is a birchas shebach v'hodo. That you don't even say kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. The only deal is on the birchas erison, because you start off kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, but then you don't say the kaddish esu'isha. There is a real quote. Some rishonim held you do say. You say two brachas. Shem sana l'kaddish esu'isha. Then you say you say a bichas hamitzvah, the kaddish esu'isha, then you say the bichas erison. So we don't do that. We don't do that. We only say what we call bichas erison. So Rabbeinu Tam, it sounds like he owns the bichas erison and bichas lachnis v'isa shal Avraham Avinu are really not bichas hamitzvah. Even though it starts off kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, it's not really a bichas hamitzvah. It's basically a bichas hashevach. Rav Soloveitchik used to say differently. That's how the Taz says in Siman Aleph, Abichas HaShevach, Shevach V'Hido. But you say Kedushan B'Mitzvos V'Tzivonu. So he said it a little differently. He said it's Abichas HaMitzvah, but it's not on a Maisa HaMitzvah. Usually one recites Abichas HaMitzvah in conjunction with a Maisa HaMitzvah. Oy, well, Asiyah Asam, you need an Asiyah. And over here it's Abichas HaMitzvah in connection with the Chalois. Kach Tikna Chachamim, the bracha should be recited on the Chalois HaYishus. So it's davke lachar asiyosam, and here when a baby has a bris milah, you see when you shake a lulav, the gavra doesn't change before and after. But when you perform a bris milah, the person is different. Before he was not allowed to eat truma, if he's a kohen, he wasn't allowed to eat korban pesach, if he's a yisrael. And after the bris milah, he's no longer an oral, he's a mole. So there is a chalais. So that's around Soloveitchik thought. Here the bicha brocha goes on the chalais. It goes on the chalois that's chal after the mila, the baby's no longer an oral. And the chalois of the ishus, that's how Rabbeinu Tam holds that the bracha should be the davka lachar asiyos. Then he suggested also, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, how many brachas do you recite when you put on tefillin? So the Gemara says, you shouldn't talk in between shalyad and shalrosh, so the bracha, v'anich tefillin over the shalyad, goes on the shalrosh as well. And if you did talk, soch, if you did talk, then mevorach shtayim. Then you got to say an extra bracha, and you shouldn't talk because you're going to be a garim bracha shein etzvicha. So what does it mean if sach mevorach shtayim? Lo sach mevorach achas. If you don't talk, you only say one bracha, and sach mevorach shtayim. What does it mean? So Rashi learns, lo sach, if you don't talk, in between shalyad and shalrosh, you just say lahaniach, lahaniach covers the shalyad and shalrosh. You only say one bracha. And the Rabbeinu Tam says no. If loisach, you say one bracha on shalyad and one bracha on the shalrosh, you say al mitzvahs tefillin. If sach, if you talk in between, then mevarach shtayim, you say two brachas on the shalrosh. You say both lahaniach and al mitzvahs tefillin. That's what most people follow the Rabbeinu Tam. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what he's saying, two brachas on shalrosh? If sach, really always need two brachas on the shalrosh. But if you loisach, if you don't talk, then the lahaniach that you said on the shalyad is chal on the shalrosh as well. So you have the both brachas on the shalrosh. And if soch, and if you spoke in between shalyad and shalrosh, then mevorach shtayim on the shalrosh. You say two brachas on the shalrosh. How come you're saying two brachas on the shalrosh? Our Soloveitchik thought along the lines of this Rabbeinu Tam. He thought that putting on tefillin is a mitzvah like every other mitzvah. But that's ukshartim lo sal yadecha. You do the maise kshira. But the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchas Tefillin that the person, the kozman that he's wearing tefillin, is a different person. He has, he's misalo, miskadesh. The kedusha of tefillin has an effect on the person. So he thought that the brocha, the Rabbeinu Tam meant to say, al mitzvah tefillin is a brocha on a chalois. The chalois is on the gavra. Just like over here, there's a chalois that is no longer an orel, that he's a mohul, he's a ben bris, and he's allowed to eat korban pesach, and there's a chalois by the ishus, by bichas eris, and the bracha's on the chalois. So he thought that the bracha Lohaniach, let's say, when you talk in between Shalyan Shar, say two brachas on the Shalrosh. So the first bracha, Lohaniach Tfilin, is on the Maisa Mitzvah Banachas Tfilin. Second bracha, Al Mitzvah Tfilin, is on the Chalois that takes effect on the Gabra, that now he's Miskaddish. Then he thought perhaps that's the pshat by Ger. Rav Soloveitchik said once in class that he only participated once in a milah, in a gerus, in a ger katan. There was a Muslim from the yeshiva that didn't have any children, so he adopted a baby. So he agreed to participate in that gerus. So he says in the middle of the gerus, he started to wonder, when do they say the bracha? When the ger is an adult and the ger says the bracha, so the Gemara says, Tavol v'yolah, after he comes out of the mikveh, then he says, "Asher gedeshan mitzvah tzvana v'ala tefila," because akati gavlo chazi couldn't say the bracha in advance. But over here, the little baby, the infant, is not saying the bracha. So he assumed the bezin says the bracha. So the bezin is Jewish already. So maybe the bezin should be saying the bracha. Overlasiyasam, asher gedeshan mitzvah tzvana. One member of the bezin should say the bracha before they makbel the baby in the mikveh. So he wasn't sure. So on the spur of the moment, he had this suffix. He didn't think about it in advance. So he said, maybe they should say the bracha l'achar asiyasim. Maybe because akati gabra l'chazi, if it would be an adult, it would be megayer, then the bracha would be recited l'achar asiyasim. Why? So he thought, maybe like this rabbi in the time, it's a bracha on the chalois ageirus. Now the person is Jewish. So he thought, maybe even if it's a ger katan, maybe the birchas ha-mitzvah by a ger was nisaken as a bracha on the chalois. Maybe the Bezin should say the bracha l'achar asiyas. This was a, he said he was thinking on the spur of the moment. There's a rabbi that says beferish not so. He wasn't aware. The rabbi in the Bali HaNefesh. The rabbi wrote a sefer on the dinim of taras hamishpacha. So he talks about he has shara tefila. He has different prokim. So one perik is shara tefila, and he says when do you say the bracha? So he says he quotes the gemara akate gabal ochaze the gemara in Pesachim Dav Zayin. That the ger says the bracha l'achar asiyas because not Jewish before, so that's why I can't say the bracha. But if the bezin is megay or a ger katan, the bezin is Jewish, so the rabbi says that you do say the bracha oivel asiyas. That's how the rabbi says. There's a sefer derech pigodecha. We just mentioned it yesterday, the other day, by the Bnei Yisaschar. So he writes on the mitzvah of ilah, he doesn't think that the bezin should say bracha at all when they're megay or a ger katan. Since igdili yichalim limchais. The Gemara says the child may grow up later on, and he may reject the whole gerus. He'll say, no, thank you. You did an act of zochna adam shlei b'fanav, and I don't want it. I'd rather not be Jewish. So he says, so it's really a sofik brachas lakal. Maybe you shouldn't say the bracha.
Rejection
of zochna l'mafreya. The whole gerus, yeah. The Gemara says, let's say I want to give a matana to someone who's not here. So I give you the matana, you're zochafeh. Then he finds out in September when he comes back, when school begins, he finds out that you mekabel a matan for him. Say he doesn't want to be indebted to me. He doesn't want the matan. So the Gemara says if micha metchila, if his instinctive reaction was he doesn't want the matana, so he's okay the whole act of zochin. So here the Gemara says higdili yichadim limchas. We were megayer a ger katan based on zochin adam shlei b'fanav. So and when he's a little baby, he doesn't understand a katan is a la bardas. When he grows up, higdilu. Then he finds out, he starts to understand what's going on. He says, I don't want to be Jewish. I'd rather not. He doesn't want to have the challenge of keeping all those mitzvahs.
Not from now on? We don't
No, so it's okay. You can't say he was a Jew and then all of a sudden becomes a non-Jew. We say, it's a Gloy Milson and my friend. Never was a Schuss. And the whole Geras was never Chal in the first place. That's the Pashtus and the Mora. Yeah, there's a Rashba there in Ksubis on that Daf Yud Aleph and Manaleph, where the Rashba asked the question, we allow the child to turn on the fire, this little child that we were megayer, we allow him to turn on the fire, that it shouldn't be bishalakum, and we may be mitzarif him to a minion, and he's going to handle the wine. So he says, how do we allow the kid? It's higdili yichalim limchas, that should be a safek. It may turn out that he's going to be a goy all along. How can we rely now that he's Jewish? We're going to bench mezuman with the kid. We don't bench mezuman with a cotton before bar mitzvah. But those hold that you can be mitzar for cotton to a minion, mikradin you can mitzar for cotton to a mezunin. So how can you treat him as a, you give him after? You give the little kid after, and then next week he's going to become by next year he's going to become by mitzvah. He'll say I don't want it. Higdili yichalim limchas. So how do we give him after? So the Rashba says the parents who are adopting the child who are megar the ger cotton, it's only a schus if the parents are religious. parents are not religious, that's the whole machlokes now in Eretz Yisrael. So the Shaila says, is that called a schus? To be megayer a ger kotzen, going to be brought up without a Torah education, going to be brought up as a secular Jew. So the quote of Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva sounds like he says that it is a schus, even though he's brought up as a secular Jew. And Rav Soloveitchik followed Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan and said that it's not a schus. Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan said it's not a schus, only a schus if he's brought up by observant parents. And the Rav in Frankfurt, wrote a tshuva sefer. They got the name of it. So he disagreed with Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan. So the Sfidei Yesh writes in his tshuvas, he thought it was a chutzpah that the Rabbi of Frankfurt disagreed. He had no right to disagree with Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan. He was a posek mefursim in the generation. Anyway, here they're much like us. They're those who held that it is a schutz. One of the Rabbanim, Rabbi Meir Don, who wrote the Kli Chemda. So he writes, he has another big fat sefer, Chemda Sisrael, I think, on the Sefer HaMitzvos. Horace on the Sefer HaMitzvos. Very sharp Polish Harifas. So he has there in the Chemda Sisrael, he has a tshuva about Ger Kotam at Bilam Asad Das Bezim. So he discusses in America, the Jews are not observant. He once visited America and he went back to Europe. So he discusses, can non-observant parents adopt a non-Jewish baby and convert him? Is there a schus? So he says, the Jews in America are such wonderful balei tzedakah. They gave so much tzedakah, that's a gewaldig schus, even if the kid is going to grow up not to be a Shem and Shabbos, and not to keep kashrus, not to keep anything, but he's going to give tzedakah, that's zochel an shlevan. That's a gewaldig schus. He thinks that that's called zochel. And Rav Soloveitchik taught that not. Anyway, so that's the shaila. So the Rashba in Ksubas Dafyin Aleph raises the question. In the kid, another 10 years, the kid could be Moicha. So how do you rely on the kid for Bishalakam and for pouring wine and for to be Mitzarifim to Amin? You give the kid Maftir, and then next year is going to be Moicha. It'll be a guy. It'll turn out it was always a guy. So the Rashba says, but he's adopted by observant parents, and they're giving him a Torah education. So you have a right to follow the Rav. The Rav is that he's not going to be Moicha. The Rav of the children who are brought up by observant parents are not going to be Moicha. So that's the shaila, derech pikudecha, the Bnei Yisrael raised the question, even though the Rav is, he's being brought up by observant parents, maybe he's still called Safik Brachas La'akam. They say a bracha when al pi Rav, you're doing a mitzvah, well, being megayer the ger katan, being adopted by religious parents. So the Rav is not going to be moicha. So we rely on the Rav for the bishalakam and for the mitzarif to the minyan, and to get mafter and so on. Can you rely on the Rav to say a bracha also, that he's not going to be moicha? So that's a big discussion in Achreinim. Some hold that Sofik Brachas Lahakel is so strong that you don't even say a bracha when there's the Rav is that you're doing a mitzvah, because Sof Kol Sof the Diyut. Yeah. That's normal. Kach tikna chachamim. Every animal is a Sofik Treifa. So you go basarayv, unless you know in advance that there was fell down a flight of stairs. But over here, normally, the birchas hamitzvah of a ger is when it's an adult, so it can't be moicha. So that's a shaila. Doesn't make sense that you should say a bracha on that. So the derech pikudecha says you shouldn't say a bracha at all. The rabbi writes beferish that you do say a bracha. He thinks that the bezin says the bracha oivel asiyas. How come the rabbi doesn't hold from this svara that should be suffic brachas la'akel? So in the sugi of Chanukah in the second paragraph of Madlikin, the Gemara talks about suffic bracha when you mafrish demai. It's a suffic demai is a suffic tevel. So the Gemara says you mafrish demai, no bracha is recited. So the Gemara says something about the suffic bracha. So there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the rabbi had to read the Gemara. So the Ravid, Pnei Yeshua points out that the Ravid Shita is that a bracha is only the Rabbanon. Whenever there's a Safik bracha, Safik the Rabbanon lekula. That's why you don't say, that's why Safik bracha is lachal. According to the way the Ravid understands, whenever there will be a Rav, so you don't say Safik the Rabbanon lekula. The Rav says that the child is not going to be Moicha. They do say a bracha, but we don't follow the Ravid. We hold like the Rambam on that issue. We hold the Safik Brachas La'akel is a bigger din. It's not identical with the din. Because brachas are only the rabbanan, safik the rabbanan lekula. We hold the safik brachas lekula is a bigger halacha. So there's room to say like the derech pikudecha. There is room to argue the point like the derech pikudecha. Yeah, the few times that I participated in a ger katan, we did not say a bracha. We decided not to say a bracha because of this derech pikudecha. And even though the rabbi says beferishet, you do say a bracha. He said a bracha even lasi osam. We thought that that ravid was lishitasa, that he holds that safik brachas la'akel is identical with the rule of sveika derabbanan lekula. But we don't hold like that ravid. We hold like the Rambam over there. Safik brachas la'akel is a much bigger din than sveika derabbanan lekula.
But a child that's sick and the parents have to make a decision, suppose it's katamutul ish. In other words, the child knows that. Understands the issue.
Yeah.
Do you ask him what would you like?
They ought to.
And it would count.
Probably should count. Dad, Malam Malov is talking about little infants.
Yeah, like us.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. You should do Bal Korcha. You have to consult the kid. They should, the parent should try to explain to the kid why he should agree with their way of thinking. But if he doesn't, I don't think they can do against his wishes. I don't think that's right. Anyway, this is the famous machlokes, the Rashbam and the Rabbein Tam, where they say the bracha lachnisa b'isa shel Avraham Avinu oiva lasi osam anan. I think we said over the Orach HaShulchan here, the Rishonim, how come you say two brachas? How can we say two brachas on one mitzvah? So the Tosis Rid has a comment. He says, most of the mitzvahs were given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. This mitzvah was given by Avraham Avinu. He sounds like he's assuming, not like yesterday's Rambam, he sounds like he's assuming that we still observe the mitzvahs today because it was given to Avraham Avinu. So because it's different from all the other mitzvahs that were only given by Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why I say, to emphasize the fact that this mitzvah is all the way back from the days of Avraham Avinu. The Orach HaShulchan doesn't give that answer. He didn't have a Tosis Rid. Tosis Rid is on this Amud, on this Lezab. So the Orach HaShulchan says that in Mila there are two mitzvahs. One is the surgical mitzvah, Tekara or Harla. And the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu had eight children from Keturah, the Bnei Keturah. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Bnei Keturah achayovim in Milo. So the Rashi learns Avraham Avinu was muchayiv to be mal Bnei Keturah. The Rambam learns all the descendants from Bnei Keturah b'zman hazeh are also chayiv in Milo. And since we don't know which Arabs are which, so all the Arabs in the world are muchayiv to do Milo. That's an unusual Rambam. Shagazaria says the Rambam doesn't make sense. He can't believe it. He says, what do you mean they're goyim? They're only muchayiv in Sheva Mitzvah. How can it be that they're muchayiv in Milo? He thinks that Rashi is right. Shagazaria thinks Rashi is right. Avraham Avinu was mechuyev to be mal his children that he had from Keturah, even though it's biyitzchak yikor lechazera and the others not. But Yishmael also he did a bris milah on Yishmael, so he had to do a bris milah on the Bnei Keturah. So he says, when Avraham Avinu did the bris on Yishmael and on Bnei Keturah, but he was told biyitzchak yikor lechazera, so he would only if they, we talk about brachas, they went on brachas, the brachas went on sheknes agdal. If you would talk about brachas, you would only say the bracha ala mila. The bracha ala mila is the bracha on the surgery of mila. Lachnisa b'Yisrael Avraham Avinu means that this bris mila is going to be the beginning of the chinuch of the Torah education we're going to give the child. So that doesn't apply to the Bnei Keturah, it didn't apply to Yishmael. So by us we say two brachas because there are two different aspects to the mila. One is the surgery and one is this is the beginning of the chinuch. So some said so the Rashbam, Rashbam's practice was, many Sfardim have that practice. They say when they put the baby on Kisa Shal Aliyah, they already say Lachnisa Bebisa Shal Avraham Avinu. Then they say we are declaring we're going to start doing chinuch to the child. And then when they do the mila later, they say the bracha ala mila. Then the Gemara has another bracha, as she kiddush you did me betan. Yeah, our meaning the Gemara doesn't say. Our meaning is that we cite the bracha over a cup of wine. That what?
One is the Maisa, one is the
Yeah.
The
same thing. Right, right. So here the Orach HaShulchan has more elaborate, more than the Chalos. He thinks Lach Nisbi says the beginning of the Chinuch of the child. That's why I mentioned, when we started the Perek, I mentioned that the Mechaber quotes from the Gaonim that if a woman is married to a Goy and she has a baby boy, and the Goyish husband is probably not going to give the child the Jewish Chinuch, so then the Mechaber quotes the Gaonim that the Mila is not Dechel Shabbos. Mila is not Dechel Shabbos because Esa Dechel Esese, because Shabbos is Lo Esese the Esse and it's Lo Esese Shesh Bakaris. Gemara says it's a special Xeris HaKosov. Why? Because Nichru Salah Yud Gimel Bris. What does that mean? So the Gaonim hold, what aspect of Mila is Dechel Shabbos? The Hachnasa Lechinuch. That aspect, Lachnasa Lebris. Nichru Salah Yud Gimel Bris means because Mila, Bris Mila, is the beginning of the Chinuch of the child. But if the father's a guy, the parents are secular people, let's say. Even if the both parents are Jewish, they're secular Jews. They're not going to give the child any Jewish education at all. So then, according to the Gaonim, the Mila is not Dechel Shabbos. Mila is not Dechel Shabbos. The Shach screams, what are they talking about? But it's a Mila Bizmano. Yeah, it is Dechel Shabbos. But the Gaonim are not ridiculous. The Gaonim held that the Halacha, that Mila is Dechel Shabbos, not because of the mitzvah Mila, because of the mitzvah of Hachnosa Lebris. And if you don't think there is going to be any Hachnosa Lebris, this Mila is not going to be the beginning of a Jewish Chinuch for the child, then it's not Dechel Shabbos. That's what they held. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that that aspect of the Bris, that is the beginning of the chinuch of the child, this is the reason why you say the bracha lachnisa v'brisa.
You wouldn't say it, but people are not from.
According to him, you shouldn't say the bracha lachnisa v'brisa. You should just say alam
ilam. Anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever the parents, it looks like the parents are not observant, they're not going to give the child any Jewish chinuch. So according to this, Aruch HaShulchan, you really shouldn't say the bracha lachnisa v'brisa Avraham Avinu. It's just not going to happen. According to the Tosis Rid, you should. Tosis Rid says, no, we say the second bracha because this mitzvah was given to Avraham Avinu, not because of the Hachnos Libris. It's Nagel La'alocha, yeah. So then you recite the bracha, Ashikidish, you did me beten, fine. And our meaning is that we recited Alakos. So Rabbi Akiva Eger had the practice that he used to drink the Kos of Yain right after. Then he said, that's not alayayin. Hashikidish yidid mebetna, that's a bracha lakos. The tefillah for the baby, that's like a mishaberach. That shouldn't be alayayin. So in recent years, the meaning is that you say, kayem es aliyah lazel, you only drink the wine afterwards. So Moshe Feinstein didn't follow that meaning. And he sent a letter to his son, Rabbi David Feinstein. I don't know why he didn't tell him in person. He wasn't home. Has a lot of letters to his son. The other son, Rabbi Reuben Feinstein, was away from home. He was learning in Telza Yeshiva in Cleveland. He wasn't home. But he sent him a lot of letters. They were learning in the yeshiva. Moshe sent a lot of letters how they should learn the Gemara. But Rabbi David Feinstein was always home. I don't know. So he has a letter. He says, I noticed, Rabbi Moshe writes to his son David, I noticed that you said the bracha, and you didn't drink the wine till after Kayem Saliel Hazeh. Why don't you do the way I did? So he said back, because that's the meaning. So he said, well, the meaning is wrong. You should do it like Rabbi Kivega. And he writes that the meaning that keeps on changing every 50 years, that's an Ishkin meaning, so you should follow what I do. You should take a sip of the wine right away, right after the Koris Abris. Okay. Yeah, it should be a Hefsik. Should be a episode. Then Rashi quotes, the last Rashi in the Perek quotes, it's a Gemara in Erev in the beginning of the second Perek. We say, Tzavi lehatzi lidirish ereinu mishachas manbrisa shosom bibsareinu in the schus of the mitzvah of Milo, the Jews don't go together. So Rashi quotes the Pasuk from Triyosa. Gamat bedambrisech sholachti asirach mi bor ein maimbo. The bor ein maimbo, the bor that's Gehenna, where there's no water. There's fire there in Gehenna. So, the dam brisech, in the schus of bris mila, the Jewish baby has a bris, shalachti asirach, the prisoners, the Jewish prisoners, don't go to Gehenna. So that's an agadah in the beginning of the second parak in Erevin. Avraham Avinu sits al pischa shal Gehenna. Whenever they bring a Jewish baby, so he says they can't throw him into Gehenna because he has a bris mila. And if it was boal ha nochris, if the Jewish person was living with a nochris, so it'll be Nimshecha or Losai, that's how the Gemara says, and Avraham Avinu loy mevaskele, he won't recognize him, and he'll say, throw him into Gehenna. So that's what the Rashi said, that's what we mentioned in the Bracha. Sabe lahatzi ledina shereinim ishachas, spare the Jewish people from Gehenem, l'man brisa shasam bivisareinim. Here are two ways to pronounce the word tzavei. On the side, they quote the Rabbi Yankif Emden says, you should say tzivo lahatzi ledina shereinim ishachas. El chai chalkeinu tzureinu, tzivo lahatzi. He already has instructed that you're not going to, that we're not going to go to Gehenem. And others have the meaning that you say tzavei lahatzi ledina shereinim. The Shach has the two versions, where they say tzivo or tzavei. Rabbi Lifshitz used to say both. They say Rav Avol Soloveitchik, he used to say both. Say it twice. Tzivo tzavei lahatzel din l'shemein. Okay. Shaila had to pronounce the word. We only mention the only mention Lohatif Mehem Dambris by Milas Hager, by Milas HaEved, where it's a Milas Shel Geiras. By a baby, we don't say Hatovas Dambris. So the Ramban on Lachamas points this out. The only mention, there's only mention of Hatovas Dambris. Why is this so? So the Ramban says, because by a Jewish baby, when you have Hatovas Dambris, you have a bris mila. It's rare that you have a hatovas dan bris. If the mila was done by psul, or if the baby was done by mo, hardly ever happens. By a ger, habola his gair, it'll happen, it'll be very common. He had a circumcision when he was an infant, l'shem medical purposes, hygienic purposes, and then later on, wants to convert at the age of 25, 35. So then you incorporate hatovas dan bris into the nusach habrocha. But by Jewish babies, you don't mention it. So Rav Soloveitchik mentioned this Ramban, and that he thought that maybe Bechlal there's no requirement for Hatovas Dan Bris by regular Bris Mila. He thought that Bris Mila only needs Mila Priya, and doesn't really need Hatovas Dan Bris. That's when the Mishkan Esyanki quotes a Zoya Natso. The Mishkan Esyanki quotes from the Zoya that there are three phrases in the Pasuk, so you see, you need Mila and Priya, and you always need Hatovas Dan Bris. So Rav Soloveitchik wasn't so convinced. That's why the Agudas Rabban made the whole tumult about if they use a clamp in such a way that there's no dam comes out at all, so they tiny that would may possibly puzzle the bris mila. Ramosha said Allah Almighty doesn't puzzle. He said because it's always dam. When you use a clamp, it's just going to be much less dam. But there's always going to be hot dam. Huh?
Doesn't it make a bruise?
Yeah, it does. It does make a bruise. He said, but the evidence good. He said all our goodness are bottom. The whole tumult that they made was lachat chila. But the other, he said, for sure, it's good. Nice, cheerful perek. Okay. Want to wish everybody a pleasant summer. So we are starting on, next year will be, on August, in the Reform Synagogue, they announce on Matzah Yom Kippur when the services will be Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. The shiurim are going to begin on Monday, August
25th.
Maskana is the third parak, Elon Iris. That's what we were told.
More than 2 weeks?
Huh? Maybe we'll finish it in 2 weeks. Okay. Okay. Maybe we shall learn 2 days a week the first parak.
Is that what you should have to do the third
parak? Yeah. I think so. Didn't have a chance to look.